What's up, guys? Welcome to Just So We're Clear, a podcast brought to you straight out of Singapore with your host, Marissa Tru, and myself, Hanley Hofer. Now, if you've listened to us before, well, you know the deal. But if you're new here, well, hey, welcome.
So on this show, we cover pretty much everything to do with modern life. Female empowerment, sex, mental health, finances, you name it, we do it in the most uncut way possible.
Mm-hmm. So grab a coffee, maybe even a glass of wine.
No, definitely some wine.
Light a scented candle.
Or maybe you're at the gym or you're cooking your dinner. But consider this next hour your time to feel like you're not alone. Because trust us,
we get it. It's Just So We're Clear. Hey guys, welcome back to Just So We're Clear. Today, I want to give you a background of the vibe we're coming to you with. It's a Sunday. There's some incense in the air.
Mosquitoes too.
We slept in today.
We did sleep in today. Also, when you listen to this, it'll be our second birthday.
I know. Isn't that so cute? Also, on that note, happy International Women's Day, girlfriends.
Happy International Women's Day.
I love how we started that the podcast on that topic. I mean, on that day, because it was unintentional, right? Like we were like, oh, it happens to be International Women's Day when we launched.
And we also launched with a dude.
We did, with Alan.
Yeah.
Who I had a dream about the other day.
Tell me everything.
No, it wasn't like a naughty dream. Sexual. No, not at all. No.
And I don't need to know.
It wasn't.
I've already lost interest.
I did reach out to him because I have this thing now that if you pop up in my dream, I'm going to send you a message just to be like, hi, hello.
So clearly I am not featuring in your dreams.
I see you all the time. If you were in my dreams, I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Get out of my headspace.
If I were to take over your subconscious space, we're pushing it too far.
But listen, have you had dreams about me?
Every night.
Oh, well, this is awkward now.
Strictly sexual.
Well, guys, so we're at a good place today. We hope you are too. And yeah, hope you're ready to hang out with us as we dive into the topic of
womanhood. But not just any kind of womanhood, modern womanhood, and not just any kind of modern womanhood, Asian modern womanhood.
There we go, laying down the foundations. So, you know, being a woman is
interesting.
I don't want to say hard because I really do love and enjoy it. And I like, there are moments where it can feel difficult, but the overall experience for me, I'm not going to say is hard. You know, like it's not like we're facing major hardships. But it's interesting to be a young woman, especially in the time of social media.
Oh, big time. I think it's the idea of like, is being a woman hard? I think it's about acknowledging that there are obviously difficulties and challenges that are unique to being a woman. But at the same time, would you switch it? Probably not.
Yeah, that's what I mean by that. It's like, yeah, okay, being a woman is hard. And there are elements that are hard. But the pride and joy that I have of being a woman outweighs those bad elements. So like, okay, it's part and like parcel of this experience.
You're happy to take on those challenges because that's just a kind of everything to do with who you are every day.
Yeah. So I think today we're obviously going to be talking about how amazing it is to be a woman, but we need to talk about being a woman in the age of social media because this is something that, you know, we grew up with. And so in a lot of ways, our generation, us millennials, we're like the guinea pigs of growing up with this level of
constant exposure.
Exactly. Yeah. Previous years, think about it, like our older aunts, our parents, like they had old school media, magazines, movies, and really glamorous stuff. But now because social media is so in our face every day, every like moment, it's completely different. And yeah, it's interesting to navigate that as like sort of the first wave of young women who had to do that.
I think it's because when it was slower and it was down to, you know, magazines, tabloids, TV adverts, billboards even, that sort of like, I mean, last episode we touched on social comparison, right? Like that was sort of the pace at which it was consumed. And now we're not only comparing ourselves to ourselves, we're comparing ourselves to celebrities, and we're also comparing ourselves to, you know, these first generation TikTokers with 32 million followers who are so young and cute and peppy and trying to think like, I have to battle against some kid in their living room too.
Dance battle. Yeah.
Like, they're just pulling out this weird choreography. And I'm like, am I supposed to learn this?
I know. I tried learning it, and it's just, it's, I'm never doing that again.
I watched a video the other day of this weird hand dance that kind of looks really cool if you can achieve it. And I did the first move and thought, who are we? What are we pushing?
But they make it look so effortless.
Yeah, because they're talented. I'm not.
The one thing I do like about social media is that it is also very encouraging in the sense that, okay, have you been seeing the recent social media trend of like that girl or, you know, becoming her? This whole like phenomenon of like, yeah, evolving into your highest female self. And, you know, this, that girl, she like wakes up early. She makes her bed. She has her green tea. She meditates. She journals.
And then has a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And then gets promoted and then takes care of her puppy.
And then comes home. And then she has dinner with her really cute boyfriend. And then she gets her full 8 hours of sleep.
She's a liar. I think of it as, I understand that this is like a, it's a really aspirational archetype of a woman that I think we all strive for. But depending on what relationship you have with media and what relationship you have with yourself, it's also potentially very damaging.
Okay, so here's a little bit of a breakdown of my idea of how this phenomenon of quote unquote that girl came about, right? Like, social media has become this unqualified space for all this like personal development hacks and habits, and we see it everywhere. And I truly believe all this started with very good intention. People are like, these are ways that you can improve your lifestyle a little bit. And then it just went too far.
I feel like the notion of this woman that can have it all probably came way before our time, basically with just the emancipation of women overall. But then social media just blew it up.
Yeah.
And we have, exactly as you said, like, we have all of these like little snippet posts about self-improvement and things we can do and how to add extra antioxidants into your green tea. And it's just, there's a point at which it's just overwhelming. And then you kind of lose sight of what you're trying to prioritize. And then the whole point is to liberate yourself. And then suddenly we're bogging ourselves down by the same things.
Because it's like, now that we actually have the tools and all like the like literal tips of how to achieve this higher self, when you add it all together, it's still too much. It's still like, we're almost, I mean, in my opinion, I think this idea of like this, that's her, and you guys know what I mean by that. It's like asking you to improve yourself a little bit, but then pushing you to improve too much. Like, you're just trying to live up to this like unrealistic standard of how to live your healthy, balanced lifestyle. And it's actually not that balanced.
But it's also, if you think about it, who is setting that standard? We're obviously all reinforcing it and thinking that this is just something, like, we've all collectively chosen to praise this. Right?
Like, it's kind of like society, but we are society.
And in terms of the tools, the way I see it in my head is, you remember when you were a kid and then you would have like a Faber-Castell series of like those 48 colored pencils?
Oh,
and you would just think of endless possibility in coloring books, right? And then suddenly someone's like, hey, listen, it's the watercolor version. You're like, whoa, a new tool. I can make it even better. And then one day someone gives you this massive crate and it's watercolors. It's acrylic. It's colored pencils. It's markers. It's Sharpies. And suddenly you're like, there's so many tools and there's so much potential that I can do. And I'm supposed to be using this to make it so much better. And now I'm just like paralyzed by everything and overwhelmed.
Yeah, that, as you described that, I got very excited and then I just got very anxious. Yeah.
As told through grade 5 art class.
Yeah.
Womanhood.
Yeah. But no, it's true. I think it's good that we're acknowledging this because, hey, who was here before us to tell us and warn us about this growing up? I had no one to be like, watch out, social media.
But I think it's also because we wanted the message that we could always do it all. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone said, hey, listen, yeah, you could, but like, you don't have to do it all. That's a very different message.
Yes.
But if that's not what, like, why, who goes in with that?
Yeah,
like, who
goes in saying, say that again. It's like this whole, like, you can have it all.
But you don't have to have it all.
Exactly. And if you want to. Exactly. Yeah. And that's not the message pushed on us, huh?
I mean, I think that's probably the message we need to start pushing. But if you think about it, right, like, you would never say, hey, you have so much potential. You don't have to fulfill it. Like, of course, we should want to fulfill it.
Music to my ears. It's like, you should wake up early. You don't really have to.
I have you have so much potential that I just don't really want to fulfill.
Yeah.
That's why I'm where I am, because I just didn't want to.
The vibe wasn't there. Yeah.
But it's true. Like, we are capable of doing anything we put our minds to, but we have to be cognizant of what we want to put our minds to. Like, it's as simple as that. But that all being said, a question I have for you is, albeit imperfectly, do you feel to a degree that you are that girl? Or at least, do you feel you're seen as that girl to other women?
Yes. I think to a degree, because, I mean, I know who I am on social media, and I also am aware of building a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is my bread and butter.
Yeah.
And there's a consistency, and yeah, it helps me get paid, to be frank. But do I feel like that recently? No, not at all. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like, just being humbled by life, you know?
Yeah, good old life. Bitch slap you every 48 hours.
Being humbled by life and reminding you that you're actually not the shit. Like, it's a healthy humble.
But there's got to be moments of pride, right? Like, so let's take your social media aside and strictly focus on you. You have a sense of awareness that other people see you as kind of being that girl. But then there's got to be moments as well where, say, you handle... There's a bird who has something to say.
It was just in the window. Do you think it was like, fuck yeah, girls, talk about this.
Women's Day!
Bird.
I say we keep that in our recording. Yeah.
There was this like ugly Mayan bird just at my window, guys. Oh, it's still there. It's just staring us down. All right.
Sizing us up.
Let her be.
So what I was saying was that when you take the social media side and then you acknowledge in part how you realize, how you know other women see you, or other people in general, aren't there, like, surely there must be moments where you handle a certain situation and then you come out of it thinking, you know, you've handled it well. And then you think to yourself, yeah, I am that girl. Like, I did manage that. I did handle that.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I've definitely had a lot of fuck yeah moments in the last year in terms of personal realization and personal growth of, like, yeah, maturity and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to answer that, then yes. I think to an extent, I am that girl, but I would never fully, like, let myself, like, believe that that is the final stage, you know? Because I think if I let myself be like, I'm here, I'm her, like, that's also a little egotistic. And there is a level that I also want just to have the space to have the grace to fall, to have a fuck up. So I don't want to, like, stitch that to myself to be like, I'm that shit. I'm gonna be like, I'm the shit today.
But I would say that it's not even about just giving you yourself like that grace to fall, but it's also just that margin to improve. And it's that idea that we've spoken about again and again, that it's like a never ending process, right? So I think in that, what we're really saying is that, yes, there's this pressure to live up to this ideal image of what we think that girl is, but if we're being really realistic about it, we kind of all already are that girl. We just refuse to pay attention to it on certain days, depending on what's happening to us.
Like, I love that.
Like, we are. Think about it. Like, if, I don't know, say there's a work crisis and you manage to handle it really professionally. And yes, you're stressed out and you're tired and you feel like maybe you're dropping the ball elsewhere. But if you happen to deal with it, you're like, damn, okay, we're on it.
I think another big thing is that we need to define who that girl is for us.
100%.
Like, this social media phenomenon, it's a template. Like, it's all copy-paste with a different girl, but it is the same routine. And it is an admirable routine, you know, the whole, like, have my shit together.
This bird is silencing us. One moment where we take a break for technical difficulties while Hanley tries to swat a bird outside of her window. Oh, no, she's just waving plants at it, hoping it's... This commentary is amazing.
Do you think it was looking at its own reflection? Like, damn!
No, or it saw you and thought it was its own reflection. It was like, damn! I look fresh today. I'm that girl.
The birds just want to get involved. Oh, I totally forgot what we were saying now.
I've forgotten what we were saying. I started commenting on
Oh, no, yes. No, I was saying that it's... It's our job to define who that girl is for us.
Just another job for us to do. But I will say, I agree with that. I think we do need to understand what that is. But I think we also need to realize that I think that's also going to be a constant iterative process. Like, we're all going to be constantly changing our definition. Like, the girl who I thought I wanted to be when I was 12 is very different from the girl I want to be, or the woman I want to be at 30.
Okay, so wait, let's backtrack that, because let's ask each other this question of, like, who is your version of that girl?
See, I was going to ask you this question first.
so that you had time to come up with your answer.
And I could just, like, riff off of yours. And be like, yeah, that one. No, for me, I think what's become increasingly and abundantly clear to me is it's someone who always acts with integrity, is always kind or acts out of kindness, and also is independent to a level where they can always stand on their own two feet, albeit like financially, socially, being able to have that together where there's no reliance on a survival level.
So that, okay, so you're not operating from lack or insecurity.
Exactly.
You're operating from a place of, like, I'm solid and grounded in my own. So exactly. I can now move forward with my own back as my foundation.
Exactly. Yeah. So any future relationship that I engage with or that I'm involved with is from a place of want. Like, I want to actively be there. I don't want to feel compelled to be there out of need.
Mm.
I think that was always a big thing. Like, talking about kind of like seeing the financial independence of women emerge over the last few decades and just learning about it through history or learning about it through, you know, our mothers and then their network of friends, is realizing that so many relationships or so many insecurities within relationships were born out of a need or a fear that if they were to lose that, then they would lose a fundamental security, whether it's, you know, financial or the house or like some kind of stability that they needed.
They needed someone to rely on.
Yeah. Yeah. And so for me, it's, I think we're always going to have to rely on people. It's silly to think that, you know, I don't need to rely on anyone and therefore I'm that woman. No, I think that's actually also very dangerous and really unhealthy. But it's more like you get to really choose who you rely on and who you lean on and where you take joy.
Mm.
Because I think otherwise, like, I don't want to feel like I have to be somewhere because it's contingent on my survival or my well-being.
Yeah, that sounds like hell for me.
Yeah.
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 Interesting. Because now, okay, because see, I was thinking about my answer. I was nodding, but in my head, I was like, what's my idea of that's her? And I agree with you on so many levels, like living out of integrity, living with kindness always. For yeah. me, I think, so in my 20s, I think I definitely can say that I hit the checkpoints of like who I wanted to be when I was a teenager. You know, like I'm really proud of my 20s because mm-hmm. I followed my gut and I, you know, joined media and I became a model, actress, host, and I got all these amazing jobs, which is what I wanted to do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I managed to be financially independent. I managed to like live alone and build a beautiful life. But now when I think about my 30s, that's her is not my 20s anymore. And so mm-hmm. the person that I want to be in the next 2 years to develop into that her, I want to be someone who lives more closely with nature. That's mm-hmm. a really big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, yeah, live somewhere where I can really practice my values of sustainability and like gardening and earth and like
sure.
yeah, that element, that little like island girl in me that's like, I want to live in barefoot in a garden and like be so connected to Mother Nature, but also be very connected with my own spirit. I think the version of me that's her is turning into this very like mindful, calm, slow, mm-hmm. wise, grounded woman that doesn't need the superficial kicks
or the validation
exactly
of, yeah.
that my previous life did. Because I'll be real with you guys, working as a model and using my looks for, I mean, yes, I have a personality and yes, I'm talented
as evidenced by, yeah, just so we're clear.
Yeah, and yes, I'm hardworking, but you know, the reality of my job is that in order for me to have showcased those skills, I needed to ride on the back of my looks
mm-hmm.
as a model. That's mm-hmm. how I got my foot in the door. But there is a toxicity to working sure. when you are known or introduced with your looks first.
Right.
And it can be very damaging. So I think because I've experienced that, my next step of That's Her wants to shed that.
Okay.
I don't want that to be who is my, like what my first introduction is. I don't want people to meet me and be like, oh, she's hot. I want them to be like, wow.
So we're going to have to like ugly it up a bit.
She's like,
like, it's going to be a challenge, but trust me, I'll do it.
I don't want it to be about looks anymore. I want it to be about soul.
So we're going to reverse the ugly duckling story. We're going to put you back in a box. No, I get what you're saying, because out of that, what I hear is also you use your teens and your 20s to build.
Mm-hmm.
And then your 30s onwards, you're using to use what you build to actually ground. And so you're kind of taking it full circle in that way. And I think it's interesting that you want to shed this notion of like the vanity aspect of your identity, because there is a huge vanity component to being a public figure. But is that something you really think you want to let go of? Because I feel like there's still something that you value in that.
It's not that I want to let go of it. It's part of who I am.
Yeah.
It's more like, it's just that it's not, I don't want it to be my full focus anymore. Or not full focus. It's just, yeah, I just want to, I guess, like, I want to go deeper within.
Okay.
You know? You know that I've always been very interested in what spirituality means mm-hmm. to me, mm-hmm. into what oneness means to me. I'm very connected with nature. Like, I go out and I, like, ground on the earth. I try to cycle to Fort Canning most mornings just to, like, be in nature. And, like, that's an important pillar of my life. Mm-hmm. So my next notion of That's Her, that will be a big element of who I am.
So it kind of sounds like you're already doing it, though. I cycle every morning to be in trees. I occasionally climb one.
Yeah.
I have animals. My apartment is essentially a greenhouse.
Yeah.
And you're like, I really want to be her. Like,
more.
It's like you're walking into the apartment and being like, she's here. I feel it. But I think the one, like the narratives or like this, the tropes that were always... they're always, I guess, mainly thrust upon us with Western culture primarily is this idea of the career woman slash the working mom. And like this, also this notion of motherhood, which I think is another tricky one, because I think there's an assumption that for that woman, there's an inherent instinct to want children, want families. And I'm learning more and more through, you know, different people is that those aspirations aren't uniform. Like there's so many people who are just like, you know what, kids are just not in it for me. Kids are not a part of my
future. Actually, it's funny, I caught up with a friend last night and she told me that she really has made the decision that she does not want kids. Kids stress her out. She doesn't like her energy mm-hmm. when she's around children. And this woman is like, she's not young, you know, she's done the work. Mm-hmm. She's really gone and gotten very introspective into what that means in her motherhood journey. Mm-hmm. Womanhood journey.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, so it feels like she's liberated by finally being like, no, I don't want kids. I'm making a decision for myself.
So yeah.
It's just, yeah, there's so many aspects, huh, of like, I feel like her is, who that her is.
Yeah, because think about it. We were all raised with like, and then one day you will get married and have children. And then if you want to still keep working, you can be that woman where, you know, you're the one who's like, do you remember Lynette from Desperate Housewives where she was the working professional and then she always had like a bit of puke on her collar?
Yes.
Yeah, and it was that idea where she was stressed and she was strung out and we're all supposed to be like, oh yeah, we can't do it all. Look at how bad it is. Her husband's a douche. But like, at the same time, we were still supposed to believe that that's what we should still be striving for. Like, mm-hmm. I know that career-wise, I'm extremely ambitious.
Okay, so wait. I know that that is a big pillar of who you are. But if you have, like, if you decide to start a family and everything, would you still want your career to, like, would you continue your career or would you take time off to be with your kid? Because I also know that you really want to be a mother.
Mm. So for me, like I have an interesting understanding of my maternal instinct because I don't think it's a very like traditional one. Like there's no part of me that sees children and thinks, oh my God, I have to have them. It's kind of like, I know I have my own way of nurturing.
Mm.
And I feel like one day if I choose to have a family, I'd like to see that grow. But I also get so much fulfillment out of my work and what I do. And I have to be realistic about the fact that I won't be able to keep both up at the caliber I'm going to want. I'm going to have to balance it out. I'm also going to need a life partner that's really, really willing to do half the work with me, because frankly, I cannot do it myself, and I will not. I can't be that housewife. No. I will never be that housewife.
Mm.
There's nothing about that that gels with me. It's a team effort or it's nothing.
Mm.
But when it comes to the idea of my career, people have always said, yeah, but like, you know, you take 1 or 2 years out. And the thing is that, yes, the professional break sounds ideal and it's a great way to kind of ground yourself as a parent. But then I also think day to day, that is an activity that I value so much that it sounds like a massive sacrifice to say that you just don't have that at all. So you're going to like go from 100, like 100 on the work front, 0 on the kid front. Then you have a kid and then it's 100 on the kid front, 0 on the work front. Like, surely there's a balance to be struck without the added pressure of having to succeed and excel at both. Obviously, we all want to excel as a mother. Like, I don't want to turn and be like, can I just be an average mom? But just like,
yeah,
this idea of I want to be good enough as a mother.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to lose sight of the other things that make me outside of motherhood.
Yes, yeah. I think a lot of women struggle that. And I mean, obviously, we can't speak on behalf of their experiences. And I don't have enough friends who have reached that level of motherhood where they've, had to take a step back to recognize, like, what is my sacrifice? Because I think they're still very much in the fresh stages of motherhood.
The novelty?
Yeah, they're still, like, their kids are still, like, under 4.
Yeah, you know, like, it's like when you unpack a Furby and it's still funny.
And it's still really cute. And they're still like, it's still their firstborn. So I don't know that experience yet. But I'm sure that when the day comes when we are around, like our community starts reaching these moments where they need to start making decisions, I'm sure we'll have the answers or some perspective of what it's like to have to choose where you put your energy in more.
Yeah. And also let's not forget the biological component, which is the hormone rush. Like if you are going to have your own child, like birth your own child, your hormones are going to affect your judgment and perspective on a lot of things. Like I know women who they had their kids late. She had like this one woman I'm thinking about had her first child at 40. And she was like, frankly, I was indifferent. Like I was completely ambivalent, but my husband really wanted children and I wanted to give him that or like have that with him. Had her first child and she's like, there's no way back. I just don't care about like my career as much as I did, like I'll still do it, but it's not my passion point anymore.
Interesting.
Like she completely shifted gears and she was like, I cannot see a world where this isn't my absolute and only priority.
Yeah. Well, you know when they say motherhood changes you?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is the truest statement of them all. It's almost like when I see my friends now giving birth, I'm so happy for them, right? But there's a little part of me which is like, I'm saying goodbye to this friend.
Because they're going to evolve in a different way.
Because they're now mothers. And their hormones and their brains are just going to be different because there's this creature in their lives that everything is going to feel so prioritized for. You know, like the kid will be prioritized. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys experience that? Like you see your friends becoming mothers and you are overjoyed for them. But this is a little part of you which is like, bye-bye, friend.
I mean, I feel the same.
I'll see you another day, one day, in little moments. But the woman, the individual that you knew before she gave birth is just not going to be the same.
I see where you're coming from, but I also see it as kind of, you will definitely have to say goodbye to certain dimensions of them that you knew, right? But like their core is still there. And it's just, I think it just means about like, you will have to say goodbye to the relationship as you knew it, but you won't have to say goodbye to the relationship.
Oh yeah, itself. For sure. It's not like I'm like, oh, you're a mom.
Peace out.
Yeah, no.
I'm out. That kid is loud.
No. No, but it's, I think it's the recognition of like the ways we evolve.
I think, I mean, you could also say the same of like when you have a friend who's really, really into their relationships. And so you lose them for a while. Like that friend, you know what I mean?
The
perpetual girlfriend, boyfriend.
I hate that. I hate that so much. When you have a friend, that moment they get into a relationship, they disappear.
I don't like it.
I don't
Because I'm like,
it.
Where was your personality? Where was the bedrock? Yeah. Come back to me.
Yeah. I really don't like that. But you know what? That's a whole topic for another day. Today,
when your friends get booed up and you don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. when you become the third wheel, hard. Yeah.
I have been a third wheel for a while now, and frankly, I feel like I'm the rudder. I keep things stable. I'm like the fun, like I'm like I come in for like comic relief, and then I bow out.
Yeah, and then we all take a drink. Like, damn, a big sigh.
She really still drinks. She funny, huh? So what's one thing about modern womanhood that actually surprised you? Something that you were unprepared for? Because in the all the expectations they painted of what our adulthoods would look like, they didn't mention this. Where to begin? So many surprises.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think mental health is a big one. Right. I mean, we talked about this, but like we grew up in an Asian society, and it's no secret that the generations before us didn't do a very good job in discussing feelings and teaching us, at least for me, how to navigate our feelings. Right. We're a very show-faced society, blah, blah, blah. So that was a big thing that surprised me. But then again, like that's not necessarily womanhood. I think that's just adulthood. Yeah. Another thing that surprised me about womanhood, which it's like we knew, but I think when you're told something versus you experiencing something, it just hits differently. But it's the amount of planning that I feel pressured to do, especially around my biological clock.
Fertility. Knowing that your eggs be dying mm-hmm. over time.
I mean, when you say it like that.
But that's kind of what's happening. It's such a horrible way to try to plan your life. It's like you're racing against a clock that you didn't sign up for. Mm-hmm. And then it also means that a guy's not going to have the same clock, right? So they're going to have more time to think about if they want children. It's like you kind of need to make a decision under pressure in that respect.
Oh, okay. Actually, I have an answer of something that surprised me about womanhood. And it's not a pleasant answer. Okay. It's the feeling of safety.
Yes.
Okay, so in Singapore, we are quite safe. But when I travel, or any woman in another country that doesn't have the level of safety and security that Singapore offers women, that's something that I couldn't experience before until I was like really like a woman and like a young woman traveling by myself, or even like being in a different country on a work trip and like going home by myself or something like that. Just the feeling of discomfort and genuine safety. That's something that I wasn't ready for.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Safety is a big one. It's one of those things that we all kind of took it for granted. Because, I mean, 9 times out of 10, especially when you're growing up, you're probably with your parents. So you don't really feel that threat. And it's not until, I guess, you're observed as a woman for the first time, or like someone observes your sexuality or like your position as a woman in society, that becomes so clear and uncomfortably clear. Mm-hmm. To the point of like, I don't know if you've ever done where if you're walking in a dodgy city on your way home, having to keep keys on you in case you need to use it as a weapon. Or for me, it was always making sure I had enough money at the end of the night to make sure I could get a taxi home from the club rather than walk home. Because obviously as a student, I was like on a budget, but I just had to think to myself, I have to pay this extra money mm-hmm. to make sure I get to my destination okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also it's like crossing the street when there's a group of men walking your way, or like dressing down, like uglifying yourself because yes. you don't want to attract attention. Yes. It's like not making eye contact with people in public spaces. It's that element that, because when you're a woman, you are, you know, you are objectified by men in society. Like you feel it. You feel it. Your whole like psyche is like, oh.
But that's the thing, right? Like there's no overt threat. Like no one has to say anything to you or do anything to you for you to be really hyper aware that it's happening, right? Like you can sense that energy shift and your instincts start firing and you're like, nope, this is not okay. Like I'm not in a safe space. And it's awful. But I'm glad that we do have that instinct. I just wish we didn't have to rely on it as much as we do.
Another thing about womanhood, and especially in the recent years, is that I'm quite surprised at the level of softening that I've gone through. Mm, you know?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Like the nurturing, this very like embodying this like soft feminine side of myself, which exists in all of us and to whatever definition we want it to, but it does exist in all of us. But honoring that more has been really interesting.
I think that's a great point, because I think it's where, as you get older, you learn to celebrate a femininity that we were often told was a marker of weakness.
Yes.
Like we were always told, like, you know, suck it up, bite your tongue, or like, you know, your feelings are too much, mm-hmm. and you have too much emotion to the world, so you're going to have to just bite the bullet and deal with it and like be logical, be hyper rational. No one taught us how to use our emotions as tools for strength, mm-hmm. to navigate a situation.
Yeah, it's to own your vulnerability. Bless you, Brené Brown. She really did wonders for all of us. But really, it's recognizing that in myself too, the way that I like engage with my friends, with my family, with my mother as well. Like, you know, my mother is not a necessarily affectionate woman. Like, she's not a hugger or a toucher, and like, she's just, it's just not who she is. But being, I am now the one who will like go and hug her. I will initiate the affection, and it feels empowering to be like, I can do that. It's so, a softening.
Interestingly, in my family, my mom's always been like, actually both my parents are very sensitive and emotional people. But I grew up very much with this, like, I'm tough. Like, I'm tougher than the boys. Like, I am so logical. I'm so rational. I can see things so clearly. Like, I'm, even though I'm so sensitive, like, so sensitive. But I never wanted to lean on my emotions as a, I didn't understand them as a tool whatsoever. And it was actually my dad that was like, you know, you can afford to just soften up and lean into your feelings a bit more. And I was like, that sounds lame, but okay. And then once I did, I was like, oh my God, this is actually way more helpful to, in terms of understanding it. It was like, it was the understanding that it didn't come in conflict with my logical and rational brain. It was an asset to like enhance it and vice versa.
I think, well, okay, like when we are kids and we have a lot of our first lessons with the world that leaves a mark on how we then experience the rest of the world, I think there was always that playground thing where it's like, oh, you're so sensitive, because there was always like a kid that was really sensitive.
That was me. I was the kid who'd like, I would cry based on, I mean, I was bullied as a kid, so I kind of had reason to, but if I fell over, right, if I scraped my knee and my leg is bleeding, and I would look around the room and be like, nope, I'm tough. And I would just wipe the blood off my leg and be like, I'm fine.
Wait, but then how were you the sensitive kid that was always crying?
Because I was emotionally sensitive.
Oh, okay.
Kids, but when I was bullied, the way they would do it is they would deceive me into making me feel like I was their friend. And then they would alienate me within the group. And you don't have a way of articulating that as it's happening to you, because it's so insidious. It's so like...
Mm. It's like, we'll pretend to be your friend and then we're actually... Exactly. You're just a joke to us. It's so evil.
So yeah. Trying to explain that to an adult about like, why are you sad when you have a whole group of friends around you? And you're like, because they don't make me feel good. It was all you could say, but you couldn't explain why. So I would always get really upset and I was always...
And it would be overwhelming. So you would just cry, because kids... when they don't know what
exactly
to do, they would cry.
I didn't understand what was happening. And then I also, frankly and unhelpfully, had a teacher that basically said, you just need to get over it. Mm. And I was like, I didn't understand my emotions enough at that point because I was too young. But looking back, and I'm like, oh, okay. Now this level of emotional understanding lets me look back at that and be like, now I see what's going on.
Yeah. But it does stem, like, this whole idea of like sensitive is weak. Mm-hmm. It stems from somewhere. So yes, like, just to come back to one thing that I've really enjoyed about womanhood is to lean into that and to embrace that and to be soft and to be all like very feminine and to not feel like it's anything other than just what it is. It's not to put a judgment or label around that, and it's just to be in that.
I would say, so two things. One, I would say that I've learned to appreciate that so much more, but I still don't lean into it that naturally. Like, I still have to actively choose to do that and then find comfort in that feeling, because right now it's still kind of an uncomfortable situation.
So for you to be sensitive and soft and feminine in that regard, you're still working. It's a work in progress.
So? Yeah, it's kind of like I can do it, and I find myself being a lot softer to other people, but I need to learn how to be softer to myself.
So the other, I think, was it you I asked? I went through a phase where I asked all my girlfriends this. I said, what is it? When do you feel most feminine? And I'm sure we've talked about this on the podcast before, but in, okay, just like in regards to everything we've talked about on this episode, let's bring this question up again, ladies. When do you feel most feminine?
See, this is again where I really feel like you should answer this question first to afford me some time to think about it.
I feel most feminine when I'm creating. So for me, it's when I'm dancing or like drawing or painting. I feel most feminine when I'm in love, when I have my boyfriend with me to just have that relationship dynamic where he can be in his masculine that allows then me to be in my feminine.
Okay, that I agree with for sure.
Being in love is a big one. And I also feel feminine when I cry, but not in like a...
Oh, no, I get that.
You get that, right?
I get that. That's actually probably my answer. Thank you for that, Henley. I'll take that. You know, it's so true because it's kind of less like this full and raw emotion, right? And you're just letting yourself have it.
Exactly. And it's also, I think, the moments that we're crying alone and really like that being our own support system in those moments, it's like a very internal maternalness. Do you know what I mean? Like when you are crying and you're also letting yourself cry, you're giving yourself the space to have the compassion to release. You are nurturing yourself. And that to me feels very feminine. And I love that. And then after that, I'm like in bed and I'm like puffy eyed and I'm like cuddling with my pillows and my dog and I'm like snacking and I'm like, but it's the best. It's the best feeling.
It is an odd way to picture it in terms of like me feeling my most feminine self when it's just moments of raw emotion, as much as the highs and the lows, right? But it, like, I don't want to be like, every time I have a mental breakdown, I feel my most feminine.
Well, see, that also is like, it's what we're talking about. It's embracing like the sensitivities and letting them happen, like giving us our own space to heal through release.
Exactly. It's being at my most vulnerable and almost needing that sort of protection or wanting someone to protect me. Because I think, I mean, we've spoken about it on previous episodes where I always see myself as a bit of like the guardian of my friendship group or like the guardian of people I care about and that I will defend to the death. And that is actually a very maternal thing if you think about it. Like if you think of a lioness, she will she'll defend her cubs kind of thing. So that actually lends itself tidily into this. But it made me feel like I had to be tough. I had to be hard. When actually, if we strip that all back, I just want to be protected too. I just want to be sheltered too. And I think that's where I feel kind of the softest.
When you feel safe.
Do you remember when we talked about the crab thing and we were like taking off our shells? We were becoming soft shell crab?
Yes.
That's when I'm my most feminine. When I'm a soft shell crab or when I'm a hermit crab that leaves the shell and tries to find another one.
So, I mean, yum. But tasty. Tasty. Put a little Japanese mayo on that.
Never
and it's
put
a party.
Mayo on it. Kill it at the QP.
But there's so many ways that we can feel feminine. Like another part, I feel feminine as fuck when I dress up. And I'm like, ooh, like girl looks like she's on fire. I put on heels. I know I've got some heads turning because I made an effort to like, that's another way I feel feminine.
For me, it's if I'm doing my makeup and I'm taking time and effort to carefully decide how I want myself to look. Mm. Yeah, for sure. But to bring this back to our previous question of things that surprise us, one I definitely want to bring up because it was the one that really struck me when we first raised this question was how much explaining of how feelings work I've had to do typically to men and helping them understand their own feelings sometimes and helping them understand my feelings not as a point of just me being emotional but where they stem from and how it all fits in the mix of whatever situation I'm dealing with.
Just explaining. Just explaining yourself and your feelings.
Explaining my feelings. Yeah. No one told me I was going to have to explain my feelings. But
that's such a big one. Yep.
But I think it's because we grew up being told like, oh, girls mature faster than boys. But I had wrongly assumed that eventually they were going to catch up. I didn't realize they were going to catch up like after 30. No one told me that.
And but hey, that's their own journey.
I know, but I'm also like, why am I holding your hand through your journey and mine?
I have no answers for that. I don't know what to say to that, so I'm going to move on. No, but this is, I think it's always good to check in with ourselves on what it means to be a woman these days, where we connect with ourselves on a feminine level. Because I think something that all women should honor more is that we are feminine. We are like, what is it? Like the divine feminine, you know, the concept around that. Yes. It's like, I think that the more that we as women, as individuals, lean into that and honor that and like, don't have any weight or judgment around what that term means to us or what it was messaged to us when we were growing up. I think it's a really great way to get introspective.
I want to raise this just because I've been thinking about it in this last 30 seconds of reflection. Yes to all of the above. But then I also think when we talk about womanhood, we're talking about femininity now very specifically. But I think when we talk about womanhood more broadly, we need to make space for the masculine. And we need to acknowledge that that is also very much a part of us.
Okay, so wait, let's ask the question then. When do you feel most masculine?
When I'm at work and I'm in control of...
Because the masculine leads. Like that, normally in the dynamic, right? Like the feminine is there to hold space and the masculine is what leads. Yeah. And like,
it's and
just,
and
it's the yin yang. It's like, that is the whole man and woman dynamic. And we have that within ourselves. So for you, it's at work, which makes sense.
Yeah. Because I think if I'm thinking about how we define womanhood, and I think we very much need to celebrate femininity as something that was often cast off as weakness. So I think we've done a good job of that today. But I think often we've learned to dismiss masculinity as being a key part of our womanhood as well. Like I've been told before that I carry too much masculine energy. And frankly, my masculine energy is something that I've come to really respect and really favor about myself. It's a part of me I love. And I think it's as much of who I am as a woman, mm-hmm. as my femininity.
100%.
And it took me a long time to realize that, because I thought that when we spoke of defining our womanhood, I had to discount that or look at it through the lens of strictly my femininity, because mm-hmm. that was what womanhood was.
And actually, it's a combination of the of the two.
Like, as I've gone older, I look at both and think, I cannot have one without the other.
So it's kind of like we're rejigging the question, like, can a woman have it all? And the answer is, when it comes to masculinity and femininity, we actually can. We can have both. We are supposed to have both. So I think it's like, okay, so I want to bring it back to the feeling of masculinity as a woman, right? Like yours is, because at work, it's when you're leading, it's when you're in charge, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very alpha energy, alpha woman. We love that. I'm trying to think for myself, actually, because I don't know. Isn't that weird? Like, I think,
so if I look at the two of us and I had to weigh out the ratios or the proportions of masculine to feminine, I think you're more dominantly feminine and there's definitely masculine energy there because you are a leader. For sure. Like, if pushed, you will take charge.
Yeah.
I would say I'm probably like 60-40 masculine to feminine sometimes, because, yeah, I just think I am. But
I have, oh, God, I need to sit with this question. Like, yes, I know that my masculine, like, I understand that your masculine side comes up when you're leading, but I need to really check in with, like, in regards of my life, where in my life are moments where I feel masculine and that's coming through in a positive way. Because I don't know. I feel like maybe I've softened so much the last year that I'm like liquid. I'm like, I think maybe my masculinity comes across in my pride. Right? I think that's where it is. Like, I'm a very prideful person. Maybe that's it.
I would also say that you could break it down based on different environments you're in. So like, take the gym, for example. Like, I feel more feminine when I'm doing some sports over others. And I feel more masculine. Like, if I'm doing yoga, Pilates, cycling even, I feel more feminine about what I'm doing. But if I'm pushing metal and I'm doing deadlifts and squats, like, I feel a lot more masculine because there's a dimension of flow in the feminine side, and there's a dimension of power in the masculine side to those things. And I think that's where it rises. Because, like, I don't feel flow when I'm thinking of my masculine self. Mm. I feel flow in my feminine self. Mm. I mean, not to say that the lines are that demarcated, but I feel like flow is more akin to femininity and power is more akin to masculinity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, well, it is. It's like the energy that we've sort of kind of established throughout time and everything, and just like Mother Nature and everything. Like, that is the elements that do represent these different sides of us. Yeah. So, you know, you are right there. But yeah, what I'm going to take away from this is really checking in with myself with, like, where can I have more balance to bring back a little bit more masculinity? Because that's it, right? I think, like...
Do you want to rebalance?
I do. I mean, it's no secret that I'm at a stage of my life where I feel very watery. You know, I feel a little lost, a little like up and down with my own direction. Mm-hmm. And I think having a masculine energy step in now to feel like I'm being led will be useful.
Okay, so in that you're sort of seeing it as like a drive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I need that little like push to come back.
Yeah, so drive and power and like
I think I need a bit more
thrust.
Just gonna go hip thrust.
Reestablish your masculine dominance, go to the gym.
Go hip thrust, yeah. And what about you? What are you gonna take away from this?
I see again, as with all of our episodes, this has ended up becoming an audio journaling session coupled with potentially an actual written journaling session. I think I have to or want to start to write down areas that are more feminine to me, that just as an exercise of acknowledgement. I know it's there, but I never stare at it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to give myself a moment to stare at it and be like, okay, we get it. Because... Mm-hmm. You know it's always within you, right? But
actually, you know what, guys? Share with us, okay? Like, why don't we do this each for ourselves?
When do you feel most masculine and when do you feel most feminine?
Yeah. Share with us. Like, write in if you want to. We're actually super curious because I think every woman has a different answer.
Oh.
Right? Like, come surprise us with an aspect of yourself that you consider your feminine and masculine and let us steal it.
I have a new one. It's when I bake.
Oh, okay.
When I bake, I just feel
feminine.
Like I feel so feminine because I feel like I'm nurturing and I feel like I'm about to feed people I love. Yeah, and like, absolutely. I feel like I'm caring for people. Yeah. It's also my love language as well. Okay. Yeah, I'm a feeder. Like, if someone comes into my house and they say they haven't eaten and they're hungry and then I offer them food and they say no, I get uncomfortable because I'm like, let me feed you. Let me give you that comfort.
Who says no to food? Not my kind of people, that's for sure.
Intermittent fasters. Like, oh, I'm sorry, this isn't your window. Like, what time did you wake up? You only eating at 4 p.m.? Idiot.
And on that note, guys, so happy 2-year birthday to us.
Happy birthday, us, and also happy International Women's Day.
Guys, you know, thanks for the support that you've shown over the last 2 years.
It's
also
been
also, we are uploading this onto YouTube. Finally. Finally, we're getting this content out there. The stuff that you'll see on YouTube is an uncut version of this entire recording.
Every single fuck up, every single moment. That's why you're probably going to hear us repeat a few things, because we had to re-record a couple things.
You'll see. Just the links will all be given to you in the description below. Like and subscribe that channel. And we'll catch you guys in a couple weeks.
Bye.